This week on The Out Agenda is Jeffrey Erdman, whose law firm specializes in name and gender changes for trans youth. Also joining Mr. Erdman will be one of his clients that will discuss their experiences going through the process. To learn more, log on to archives.kpfk.org and click on to The Out Agenda.
And this is your host, Julio Martinez from Arts in Review, coming to you over KPFK 90.7 FM. And I'm joined in studio by Ms. Donna Walker, who usually I see on the other side of the glass as my producer, but she also hosts her own show, Pacifica Performance Showcase, and we are combined. And if we're both in here at the same time, it means we have
fun
some
drive.
Fun drive. Please stay tuned to Arts in Review.
Bum, bum. Bang 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 bang.
And if Donna and I are in the same studio, we're going to be talking a lot about one of the great industries of this town, live theater, and also film, and also, that's about it today, film, oh, music. Yes, we combine all the performance arts here. And we don't just ask you to stay here and listen to us talk, because we have a great two great guests in studio today.
We do. Well, we've got the great Roger Genver-Smith, who's going to be joining us momentarily to talk about this phenomenal show that he's directing over at the Matrix Theater. It actually opens this weekend. It's in previews now, and it runs through April 10th. And some of our KPFK listeners may have heard him a week or so ago on Margaret Prescott's show, had a great interview. And so, of course, we love Roger here, and we want him to come back and talk about it on this show so we can offer some pledge drive add-on incentives. We've got some great premiums. We've got an incredible Martin Luther King Jr. special collection CD, almost 10 hours of Martin Luther King speeches, most of which I venture to say that people haven't heard.
And one of them specifically, what you could not hear other than through Pacifica Archives.
We're known to, as far as we know, it's the only copy, the only audio recording of this speech in its entirety. It was done in 1964, December 7th, interestingly enough, as he was on his way to Oslo to get his Nobel Peace Prize. And we know the BBC has maybe, 4 minutes or so, something like that, but they don't have the whole thing. And it's part of this disc. Really, some speeches that, one of my favorite speeches, interestingly enough, on this is called something like The Dimensions of a Complete Life. And it's one of his more spiritual speeches. And I just love it. It's so deep and so profound. So we have him talking about integration, nonviolent resistance, of course. And this is going to be available for a pledge of $100, and we will add on a pair of tickets to this phenomenal play, The Mountaintop, which we're going to talk about very shortly. But I would love to hear a little clip of the MLK disc. This is him talking about love, and I think it's a perfect intro to bringing Roger into the discussion for this great play by Gatori Hall called The Mountaintop. Let's listen to that MLK track and then come back.
This is one of the things that is basic in the nonviolent philosophy at its best. It gives one a way and a method of struggle which says that you can seek to secure moral ends through moral means. It also says that it is possible to struggle against an evil, unjust system with all your might and with all your heart, and even hate that unjust system. Yet you maintain an attitude of active goodwill and understanding and even love for the perpetrators of that evil system. Now, this is the most misunderstood aspect of nonviolence. And this is where those who don't want to follow the nonviolent method say a lot of bad things to those of us who talk about love. But I still go on and believe in it, because I am still convinced that it is love that makes the world go round. And somehow this kind of love can be a powerful force for social change. Now, I'm not talking about a weak love. I'm not talking about emotional bosh here. I'm not talking about some sentimental quality. I'm not talking about an affectionate response. It would be nonsense to urge oppressed people to love their violent oppressors in an affectionate sense, and I have never advised that. When Jesus said, love your enemies, I'm happy he didn't say, like your enemies. It's pretty difficult to like some people. But love is greater than like. Love is understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. Theologians talk about this kind of love with the Greek word agape, which is a sort of overflowing love that seeks nothing in return. And when one develops this, you rise to the position of being able to love the person who does the evil deed while hating the deed that the person does. And I believe that this can be done. Psychiatrists are telling us now that hatred is a dangerous force, not merely for the hated, but also the hater. Many of the strange things that happen in the subconscious, many of the inner conflicts are rooted in hate. And so they are saying love will perish. This is why Eric Fromm can write a book entitled The Art of Loving, arguing that love is the supreme unifying force of life. And so it is wonderful to have a method of struggle where it is possible to stand up against segregation, to stand up against colonialism with all of your might, and yet not hate the perpetrators of these unjust systems. And I believe firmly that it is through this kind of powerful, nonviolent action, this kind of love that organizes itself into mass action, that we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation and the world into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. Certainly, this is the great challenge facing us.
You're listening to the newly discovered recording of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
And that, of course, was the great Martin Luther King, Jr. And that speech was from that December 7th, 1964 talk in London, which I venture to say most people have not heard unless they're regular listeners to KPFK. Of course, we just celebrated MLK Day a little while back. So it's highly appropriate to not only be offering this during Black History Month, but particularly with this show that we're going to talk about with our in-studio guest, Roger Genver Smith, who needs no introduction to KPFK audiences, and yet I will give him one. Of course, you know him from his great one-man shows, or the Rodney King, one of my particular favorites, Juan and John, done recently at the Kirk Douglas Theater, of course, Huey P. Newton story, which you can also get, by the way, as part of the LA Theater Works audio pack of plays. That's also a $100 premium, and we're featuring Roger in that. Watts Towers, Huey P. Newton story, Radio Mambo, which most people don't know he directed for LA Theater Works during Culture Clash.
That's with our friends, Culture Clash.
That's right, and we're also offering The Crucible, which just aired last night with an all-star cast, Richard Dreyfuss, Michael York, Carol Kane, Ed Begley Jr., Hector Elizondo, and Irina Ranga, who Julio knows quite well.
Yes, my wee bitty wife opened the play, actually, as one of the little lost girls out in the woods.
And rounding out the pack is The Whipping Man, which is a very powerful play starring Charlie Robinson of Night Court fame. So that's a $100 pledge, too. So you can dial 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Get either the LA Theater Works pack of plays, or I highly recommend this Martin Luther King Jr. special collection of almost 10 hours of these incredible speeches. And as a special added bonus, we'll throw in a pair of tickets to this wonderful show, The Mountaintop, by Katori Hall, directed by Roger Genver Smith, running at the Matrix Theater. Welcome, Roger.
Thank you so much for having me, Julio, and thank you so much for having me, Donna.
Absolutely. So what prompted you to want to present this? I mean, it's kind of obvious, but what was your particular motivation?
I think it's a great play by Katori Hall. I think she's fashioned a very difficult, very challenging, and very moving evening of theater. It's 90 minutes of nonstop emotional roller coastering, and it's beautiful when we can take that ride with these wonderful actors with whom I've been blessed to work, Danielle Truitt and Larry Bates.
And lest people think that this is a biopic kind of play, it's really something quite different. Tell us a little bit about the play itself, the synopsis, and we won't give away surprises. But
of course not. But it takes place in a real place, the Lorraine Motel, Memphis, Tennessee, the evening of April 3rd, 1968. And, of course, we know, if we know our American history, what happened. April 4th, 1968, Dr. King was assassinated there at the Lorraine Motel. He had come there in solidarity with the sanitation workers who were on strike. It was his second visit in within a month there to Memphis, and he did not get out of there alive. But Katori Hall, her imagination takes us to a moment where Dr. King encounters a mysterious maid at the Lorraine Motel by the name of Camille, and she transforms into kind of an angel of deliverance on that fated evening and forces Dr. King to come to, I think, a reconciliation with his past, with his present moment, and with his legacy.
And there's also, again, without giving anything away, it really does bring forward not only his legacy, but kind of where we are now. It's very timely, very provocative, more important than ever. How do you go from this play, which, by the way, won the Olivier Award when it was done in London and was also done on Broadway with Samuel L. Jackson and Angela Bassett, I believe.
That's right. And it was also done at San Diego Repertory Theater with Danielle Truett and Larry Bates.
Right. In my old stomping grounds, I spent many years.
Per the invitation of my comrade from Culture Clash, Mr. Herbert Siguenza, who invited us to do the piece there. And certainly indebted to Herbert for that. But that was 3 years ago.
Right. Lots happened since then.
What has happened in the last 3 years in this country of ours? There's a moment where Dr. King has a premonition of his death, and he says in the play, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe." That resonates a different way in the year 2016 than it did 3 years ago. Of course, before the death of Eric Garner in Staten Island, New York. Yep. When we talk about the demonstrations dissolving into chaos in that play, we think of Ferguson, we think of Baltimore. So there's a resonance there in this particular moment that was not there to such an acute level 3 years ago. So I think it's a great meditation for this particular moment. When we were just listening to Dr. King, we lament the dissolution of public discourse, how public speaking, public ideas, the idea of citizenship has disintegrated, and we are now, you know, at the behest of megalomaniacs and idiots who have a microphone and a camera at their disposal. So I think that it is incumbent at this moment that we make another commitment. We recommit ourselves to citizenship, to responsible citizenship and public discourse. And I think this play is a good part of that.
And I'm really happy that the production company, Matrix Theaters, is giving the opportunity for our K members to see the play.
Exactly. And if you've been listening to Margaret's show, I know she's been pitching a KPFK night, which is going to be happening in March, and you can certainly pledge for that. If you do get this MLK disc for a $100 pledge, and we'll add on a pair of tickets, those are basically good for any time during the run. So there's a lot of flexibility in there. And you do have through April 10th to see it. But we'd sure love to get people to come out early so that, because I know once the word gets out on this, especially during Black History Month, I think it's so important to have groups come down and have discussions and that kind of thing. You know, listening to that clip, Roger, from MLK, it just strikes me that here was a man who was certainly a charismatic man, a great orator, but even more than that, the substance of the content of those speeches, it really presents a strategy, a focus, the philosophies that he talks about. This isn't just a charismatic speaker. This is a remarkable thought process going on what exactly nonviolent resistance is. And I think of the shootings in South Carolina and how that church and how that community responded with love. And to hear MLK say, you know, hate the deed, but don't hate the perpetrator. And that it doesn't mean in standing up that you roll over. It means that you maintain your dignity and that love can be a transformative process.
Well, for audiences coming to see, do you have any talkback evenings?
Absolutely. We have talkback evenings scheduled throughout the run, and we're really looking forward to that, to doing that. We have our final preview performance tonight, actually at 8 o'clock, and we open tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many, many opportunities to catch this play. In Charleston, South Carolina, which actually is where my mother is from, I have Charlestonian roots. You know, Clemente Pinckney was the pastor of the AME church there, who was murdered that June evening last year. And do you know that he was named for Roberto Clemente?
I did not know that.
No.
The great Clemente of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
From the Dominican Republic.
From Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Watch it now.
Now a lot of people are coming
to get
from the Dominican Republic.
The great Clemente, who, of course, went down heroically trying to deliver goods to victims of an earthquake in Nicaragua, and he went down on New Year's Eve. Well, Pastor and State Senator Pinckney's mom was expecting him at that time and decided that he would be named for Roberto Clemente.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
And in a sense, he went down in the same way that the great number 21 went down, in service of his people.
Well, in your other pieces, not to digress, but of course one of my favorite pieces, Juan and John, is, you know, your great love of sports. But we also look at Huey P. Newton's story, which is so provocative and just incredible. I think didn't you have a little story about
my daughter went to the L.A. County High School for the Arts. She was graduated a class of 2004. And during her senior year, during Black History Month, they asked me to come down and said, could you do a class, a lecture on the marriage of politics and theater? So I brought the video of Huey P. Newton down, and I showed it to them. And I didn't say much beforehand, but I showed it to them. And at the end of it, I could tell that they were tremendously moved. And this young girl, African-American girl, raised her hand and said, Mr. Martinez, is that based on anyone real? Mm-hmm. And then I said, how far have we traveled this year of 2004 from the realities of life?
Well, we've traveled a long way, but there's a long way to go. And I thank you for sharing that work with those children. And I thank you also for your recognition of the work some 20 years ago when we did it at Actors Gang Theater.
Right.
Because I remember you writing a very beautiful essay about the work, and I thank you for that.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Well, you know, a lot of us are fans of Roger's work, and, you know, of course, he's a wonderful director as well, and I think we would be remiss if we didn't at least mention some of your recent film projects and one upcoming. You're in this incredible, from what I hear, film Birth of a Nation, and also recently Chirac and Dope and many others, so it must be very gratifying to work with these remarkable filmmakers.
It is, and I think the triumph, particularly of Birth of a Nation, Nate Parker's take on the Nat Turner Rebellion of 1831, is the culmination of a lot of people's work. I think that Nate's victory is a team victory, and by that team I mean all of the people who have been working towards truth in the arts. And that certainly includes people like Charles Burnett, who made
yes,
a great
our
documentary.
Good friend Charles, he's been on the show.
On Nat Turner.
Yeah.
All of the writers who have worked on Nat Turner's stories throughout the years, all of the people who have taken an opposition to D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, which came out in 1915 and, as we know, was the first film shown at the White House, which was used to recruit for the Ku Klux Klan, is still used for that kind of recruitment, actually. But we know that that didn't just go down without a fight, and there were people who were on the picket lines, people who were boycotting, people who were writing essays demonstrating against D.W. Griffith, and who began an industry of work which was an antidote in opposition to that kind of work. And I'm talking about artists like Freddie Washington, artists like Paul Robeson, artists like W.E.B. Du Bois, who was not simply a philosopher, but he was also a poet and a novelist. Did I say Paul Robeson?
You can't say that enough, really.
This is an ongoing struggle, and I'm so happy to be part of the latest part of this struggle, as manifest in Nate Parker's brilliant film, Birth of a Nation, which should be coming to a cinema near you very quickly.
Yeah, and also catch Chirac and Dope, which is a great indie film. It was kind of the hit of L.A. Film Festival last year. And speaking of film festivals, we'll be talking shortly with Ayuko Babu, who hopefully we'll be able to get on the phone. He's the force behind the Pan-African Film Festival, which opened last night, interestingly enough, and we'll go through the 15th. So,
and I know there will be a conversation tomorrow with Nate Parker at the festival.
That'll be fantastic.
Yes.
So there's so much to experience. There's such a rich, not only film, theater, music. We want to highlight Roger's latest venture, The Mountaintop. He's directing Katori Hall's play at the Matrix Theater, starring two really talented young actors, Larry Bates and Daniel Truett. They really do a phenomenal job on this really provocative, powerful play. It's full of surprises. So if you think, I love MLK and I saw Selma, this is something really different. And I guarantee you, because of the intimacy of the Matrix Theater, which has a long-standing reputation, I'm sure Julio's been reviewing plays there for more years than I should probably mention.
Well, Joseph Stern, the manager, owner, producer there, did a wonderful mixed-race version of All My Sons. There. Where an African-American, great American actor, and his name will come to me before I stop talking, with Angie Bird, his very Anglo-Saxon wife, and they had an Asian son, and the neighbors were Hispanic, and all of it worked because, aside from the fact of the brilliance of Arthur Miller, it was all true, and they were all true to themselves.
Well, that casting, of course, is in the tradition of the great C. Bernard Jack Jackson of Inner City Cultural Center, who was casting work in that mode in the 1960s and 70s. To those of us who are fortunate enough to have worked with Jack in those heady days, it comes as nothing particularly special, but we are particularly happy that Joe Stern has committed himself to this kind of work, who has committed himself to a two-person play at the Matrix Theater. Usually there are larger ensembles there, but he has really given us an opportunity to let a two-person ensemble shine in this very attractive space, which is located at 7657 Melrose Avenue, Holly Watts, California, 90046.
And by the way, if you're not one of the lucky 10 people who are able to get a pair of tickets as add-on to our membership drive, you can also call 323-960-7732.
92, excuse me.
Or if you want to find out a lot more about the play and also about the Matrix Theater, you can go to www.matrixtheater.com.
And you know, Roger, it's interesting. Of course, the whole diversity issue is, you know, huge this year, particularly. But there is kind of a, I mean, I don't want to say it's funny. It's kind of just tragic in a way. There was a big controversy with this play when it was done at Kent State University.
Yes.
And the director had dual cast the role of Martin Luther King, one black, one white, which just, I mean, there's diversity and then there's diversity. And Katori Hall responded to that.
She did. She responded quite passionately and quite firmly. That this was not her idea of what the mountaintop was to be, and she wound up having to actually put things in contractually, which gave her more of control over casting of her play, her work of art. That experiment kind of went awry because apparently it was only the white actor who went on stage and the black actor never had the opportunity to do it. So it was an experiment that definitely did not work inside the laboratory or outside of the laboratory. But we have the blessing of Katori Hall, and I have not cast Robert Downey Jr. to play Dr. King. Larry Bates is acquitting himself quite nicely, and Reese Witherspoon will not be playing Kamei.
It will be done by Danielle Truitt. And let's mention as of course
the casting of Michael Jackson.
Oh my God, Joseph Fiennes, who's a wonderful actor. There's no question. But when you take such iconic figures, I mean, you know, it's just kind of beyond the beyond the pale. Pardon the pun. To cast a certain roles. Certain iconic roles that way. But
I'm going to be playing Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, well, sure. Why not?
Yes, why not?
Who played Othello?
Big Payback, Revenge.
Yeah.
Called me out for chicken change. Said you had it all arranged. Hand me down and that's a fact. Get ready, you mother, for the big payback. To quote Mr. Brown.
And by the way, just to the business at hand, of course, is also raising money for KPFK, which takes no corporate funding, which is why we can do these wonderful shows. And
KPFK is giving you one extra day of Black History Month this year.
That's correct.
29 days.
That's right. There you go.
KPFK is giving you that.
Are they?
Yes. Every 4 years.
We have the MLK special collection, almost 10 hours of these incredible speeches. That's a $100 premium. And as a special add-on, we will throw in a pair of tickets to The Mountaintop by Katori Hall, directed by our in-studio guest, the wonderful Roger Genver-Smith. If you've already got the MLK disc, because it has been offered on other shows and other situations, we do have the LA Theater Works pack of audio plays, which features Roger, Huey P. Newton's story, which we've been talking about.
Who was a real life person.
And boy, if you haven't seen it or heard it, please do. And the thing I love about those audio plays is that you really do hear it. You hear it in a different way when you don't have the visual. And it's a remarkable experience because you've done several of those.
Especially when you're on the 110 southbound,
yep.
You know, wall to wall, you know.